If you have your Bibles or a Bible, your phone will primarily be in Matthew 6, 7 to 13. If you're new, I along with Chad want to welcome you. My name is James Bonney. I'm the campus pastor of Westside North Shore, so it's always exciting to be here. If you just joined us, we are in week two of a sermon series called You Asked, Jesus Answers. And what happened was a lot of our community groups got together. We asked them, hey, what do you want to learn about? Like, what are the most important questions? What are you wrestling with? What do you want to hear a full sermon on? And so they sent in hundreds of questions. We nailed them down to 12 topics, and then you voted on the top six. So this morning is prayer, particularly why pray if God is sovereign? Like, why pray if God knows the end from the beginning? Like, will it make a difference if he's going to work out his perfect will? Like, does it do anything? Does it change anything? Do my prayers matter? And so that's what we're going to be bringing to Jesus this morning. So just to be really clear, this isn't a sermon on prayer, how to pray, what Jesus prayed, but rather it's a sermon going, God, does prayer do anything if you're sovereign? If you're in control, all right? So that's where we're going. That's the big question. Let me pray, and we'll get right into it. All right, Jesus, thank you that, man, you're alive, that you actually are hearing me right now. Like, you're actually hearing me. I think it's just crazy that I'm talking to you and that you're hearing me. And I thank you that, man, you hear us when we pray, that there's just something that happens when we pray, when we communicate with you, that you hear and that you're over everything. And I just said, thank you for that. And I pray, Jesus, that would be so sweet to us this morning. I pray you would stir in us as your children, just a desire to just pray because you're sovereign. I pray that you would, Holy Spirit, just fill me. I thank you that you live in me and that the Holy Spirit, you helped men write the Bible, and it's from you. And I thank you for last week, and I pray that this week you would, Holy Spirit, just fill us, like stir in us this passion to see the value and the worth of God and why we pray. And I just pray you'd help me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's where we're going. First, we just need to clarify and define, man, what do we mean by sovereignty and what do we mean by prayer? So if our question is, why pray if you're sovereign? Let's define those. And then we're going to go to Jesus in Matthew 6 and see what he gives us as an answer. And then we're going to summarize this sermon in two big points. Why pray? Okay, so that's where we're going. We're going to define, go to Jesus, get our answers, and then summarize them. All right. So first, what do we mean when we say sovereign? That God is sovereign. Okay, here's what we mean. We'll just read it to you. That God exhaustively plans and meticulously carries out his perfect will as he alone knows is best regarding all that's in heaven and on earth. And he does so without failure or defeat, accomplishing his purposes in all of the creation from the smallest details to the grand purposes of his plan for the whole created order. That God not only knows the future, but is in eternity past, working and making sure it all comes out to be exactly as he designed it and planned it to be. That's what we mean. So let me show you this. Psalm 33, 10 to 11 says this. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord, it stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Okay. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10 says this. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I'm God. And there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, man, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. I mean, just think about what he just said there. He says, I'm God and there's no other. I'm God. There's none like me. What's his qualifier for being God? And that he declares the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things not yet done. So hear me. That's what defines deity. To be God is to be sovereign, to know the end from the beginning. That's the essence of godness, declaring this is how things are going to be. And Westside, a God who does not know the future is not a biblical God. Even Jesus, he shows us his deity by telling things not yet done. When speaking of Judas' betrayal, Jesus says in John 13, I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I'm he, that I'm God. John 6, but there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. Okay, let me just give you a few more. Psalm 115:3 says, our God is in the heavens and he does all that he pleases. And he's whatever he pleases, and he just does. Job, after all that he goes through, says in Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. The idea there, man, that God is to be sovereign, is that he's 100% self-sufficient. So there's nothing that he's like lacking that he's going to look for outside of himself. There's no power out there that he needs. There's no kind of prayer that he's, man, if you just, man, get more people, then I can work. I mean, it's not like that. He's just not. He's absolutely sovereign. As one author writes, God has no needs that I could ever be required to satisfy. Like, God has no deficiencies that I might be required to supply. He is complete in himself. He's overflowing with happiness in the fellowship of the Trinity. The upshot of this is that God is a mountain spring, not a watering trough. A mountain spring is self-replenishing. It constantly overflows and supplies. A watering trough, it needs to be filled with a pump or a bucket brigade. And since that is the way God is, we're not surprised to learn from Scripture, and our faith is strengthened to hold fast, that the way to please God is to come to him to get, and not to give, to drink, and not to water. Proverbs 21 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And let me give you one that includes prayer, because we're going to just define and then we're going to bring them together. In Luke 22:31, Jesus tells Peter that Satan demanded to have Peter to sift him. I mean, just think about it. God is absolutely sovereign over Satan. Okay, so Satan comes to God like he did with Job, and he says, give me Peter. I'm going to take Peter, and I'm just going to press him through the sieve of fear tonight, and then out is going to come Peter minus faith. Okay, but look at verse 32. But I've prayed for you. Like, I've prayed for you that your faith not fail. When you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. Westside, that's like absolute sovereignty talk. That's not if you turn again, but when you turn. And what's Jesus' assurance in of God's sovereignty over Peter? His prayer. But I've prayed for you that your faith not fail. Okay, so I don't want to get too far ahead, but notice prayer wasn't separate from God's sovereign will, but was the means to God accomplishing his will. All right, so again, here's what we're saying by sovereignty. We're saying that God plans exhaustively everything that will take place throughout the whole universe and in all time, doing so by the infinite knowledge and wisdom that is exhaustively his, and he carries this plan out perfectly by his invincible power and sovereign control through the universe for all time. That's what we mean by sovereign. Okay, next, what do we mean by prayer? Hey, what is prayer? Prayer is simply conversing, communicating with God. All right, prayer includes praying out loud, talking to God, silent prayer, praying to God in your minds. Prayer can include journaling, songwriting, writing poetry. Prayer can also include listening to God in times of silence and solitude. But prayer is where we talk to God and God listens, and that's how we have a conversation with God. And so as we go to Jesus for our answer, it's helpful for us to learn that Jesus prayed, that he communicated continually on to God, his Father. I mean, you can't get throughout any gospel, really any chapter, and not see this ongoing talk or conversation with God. Mark 1:35, and rising very early in the morning while it was dark, he departed and he went out to a desolate place and there he prayed. Luke 3, now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heavens were open. See, Jesus prayed continually when picking his disciples, when casting out demons, when feeding the Father. I mean, he's just always talking to the Father. And here's why this is so important. Prayer begins with God. All right, prayer begins with God. Let me explain this. The God of the Bible is a Trinitarian God, right? And we know this. One God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So from eternity past, all three have been in love, adoration, respect, loving one another, and communicating with one another. That's prayer. It's communication, it's love, it's affection. So in the same way, we're made in the image of God. That God made us in his image to love God, to communicate, to talk to God, to come to God, to need God, to love God, to be in relationship with God. So that's what we mean by prayer. Now what we're asking here is a type of prayer. We're kind of going, man, do petitionary prayers work? Like, I mean, can I ask you things and can I request you to act in a certain way? That's what we're asking. Okay, now let me bring these together. So as many of you know, my wife and I are expecting baby number three. We're really excited in October. And so on May 22nd, we go in for our 20-week ultrasound. If you've been there, man, you're just excited. You know, like you just can't wait. You want to hear the heartbeat. You're like, it's not even a cool sound, but you think it's cool because your baby. And so, man, we pick up my daughter in Iraq. She can't wait. So we come and go ultrasound. They got the TV there. And you just kind of, oh man, look at the feet, you know, look in her eyes, right? That's the baby's feet. And look at his hands, and you're just like, oh, I can't, you know, and then all of a sudden you see the face, you're like, whoa, John, what is, that's not, I'm having an alien, what is that? Is that, is he okay? Yeah, that's just how he looks. Ah, all right, it's like Skeletor, you just don't expect it. And so she keeps coming, and then I'm almost like, uh-oh, there it is, right? She's like, you know what you're having? I was like, sure do. It's a boy. We just got so excited, right? Because it's big in the pictures. And so you're just so pumped. And man, we just keep going. And she begins to, I mean, just goes long. And then she begins to get a little quiet, which is weird for us. And then at the end, she just says to us, hey, man, everything looks okay. We did see some bigger kidneys than we want to see. And so it might be helpful just to go to women's and just get another look. There's certain things our ultrasound machine can't, that theirs can see. And so we're like, okay, you know, that's good. And so when we celebrate, just put it on Facebook. So then on May 28th, we really got called in to women's. And so we go into women's and they, you know, do their thing. We got a babysitter. And so we're just sitting, I'm just praying, like, God, come on. Like, I don't know what to expect. But you're not really thinking anything in that moment. And so they start doing the ultrasound. It's like the longest ultrasound of my life, right? Because you're not as like, oh, there's the foot. You're just kind of like, God, I just pray that there wouldn't be anything. And so they're like, yeah, you go for lunch and come back and we'll let you know the results. And so we go for lunch. It just wasn't really the best lunch, but, you know, it was good. And so we come back and they're like, you're going to need to go into this counseling room. And so we're like, okay. And so she sits us down and, you know, you're just sitting there. And she goes, so do you guys know why you're here? And I'm like, yeah, you know, we heard that were some big kidneys. She's like, yeah, you know, here's what they found. Like, your baby does have really large kidneys. They look a little damaged. So that can be concerning for us. In addition, we found his bladder is, the outer layer of his bladder is 3 times the size than it should be. And so we think that there could be a urethral valve and some kind of blockage there. And so, which means the urine's not getting out and it's kind of shooting back into the kidneys. And she just starts walking through, like, if they get damaged, you're gonna have to, maybe when he's old, when he's a baby, put a catheter in him, help him pee. And if it's really bad, he might need to get surgery, get a transplant. And so you're just kind of sitting there and you're just, I don't know if this is real. And so she's just talking about that. And if this is still a problem, the water won't fill and the baby's lungs won't fully develop and he might die at birth. And so you're just like, what? And then she's like, but we also, she's like, that's not it. We also found there's a hole in his heart. She's like, everyone has a hole in their heart, but it flaps over when they take their first breath. Your baby's has another hole and it's up here. And a lot of babies have holes, but yours is up here. And so we don't know what that is. And we're going to need to do a heart ultrasound on that next Tuesday. And then she's like, yeah, but just so you know, the combination of these two things, it's usually a chromosomal disorder. We see this a lot with babies who have Down syndrome. And we just, you know, and so, man, I just look over and my wife is just bursting in tears. And so just in that moment, I just start crying too. And she just keeps going. And this is what could happen. You have open heart surgery. And like, it just all of a sudden just hit. It was just like this punch to the soul. And the coolest thing for me was in that moment, the nature and character of God, man, the fabric that holds the universe of who I know God is. I mean, who have preached about him for 3 years up here. I mean, it just felt like a weight hit a pillow of feathers and it just all flew up around me. And I could just sense, and like verses are coming in my head, like, who makes the deaf deaf and the mute mute? Is it not I, the Lord? I mean, I'm in heaven. I do all that I please. And I'm just like, he loves me. I mean, all of these verses, it was just the coolest thing to be emotionally a wreck and spiritually a rock. I mean, it's just so weird. I'm just crying and she's just talking about, man, you can terminate, you can do this. I'm like, really, that's an option? I was like, no, I tried to tell her as I'm crying. And I was like, we're Bible-believing Christians. We believe God's sovereign. Nothing passes through his hand that he doesn't know about. And he's not giving me with purpose. And so I said, we're not going to do any tests. And it was the biggest punch to my soul. Okay, so I'm telling you that. I mean, God's sovereign. So before we even pick this sermon series, we get the 6th topic, and Norm's like, I better do this one, and you do this one. And so I was chosen to preach on prayer and the sovereignty of God. So I'm telling you all that because I just want you to know, man, what do I think in that moment? Like, what do I think if God's sovereign? What do I hope and what am I thinking about prayer? I mean, will it make a difference? How do I pray if God's already ordained all that will happen? Like, if he knew any purpose and he already has my future planned out, why pray? Like, if God knows what he's already going to do, will it make a difference? I mean, how does his sovereignty at the same time comfort me and also give me hope to pray harder? And so that's what I want to explain. I mean, I'm really excited to teach you this. All right, so let's go to Jesus. But before we do, I really want this sermon to be as helpful and as clear as I can make it. And so instead of kind of having a clever kind of ending, or just like, oh, that's a good ending, I want to just begin to tell you the beginnings of our answers, all right? So I'm going to give you the answers. We're going to go to Jesus, and then we're going to recap them again. So here's just kind of the beginning. Here's why we pray. I mean, the first and most important why to our big question, the answer is prayer is ultimately about drawing us into a dynamic, intimate relationship with the all-sufficient good God. I mean, prayer has always been, since eternity past, about loving God, coming to God, enjoying God, worshiping God, talking to God. It's never been like just to move the sovereign hand of God, but rather it's about God changing us, changing our hearts, and aligning our wills to His perfect one. And then second, I want to show us the beautiful reality that God's will has prayer written into the fabric of how He fulfills His perfect will. In other words, God's wired prayer into the universe of how His plans will come about, so that prayer is a participation in God's plan, making prayer at times the necessary means for accomplishing the ends that God's ordained. That is, if God wants something to happen and He's willed it to come to be through prayer, then it will only happen as we pray. Are you with me on that? I'll explain this a lot more, but let's go to Jesus. Matthew 6, verse 7. Again, this sermon, I mean, you could preach many angles, good truths about this sermon. I just want to answer our question in it so we can't hit everything. So this is Jesus, His disciples. Man, teach us to pray. So Jesus says, pick it up in verse 7. When you pray, and do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. Why? For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I mean, there it is. Like, God knows what we need before we ask Him. Like, He's absolutely sovereign in knowing what we need. Now, you would think, you'd expect Jesus to go, you know what, man, since God already knows everything, you're not going to really give me anything, you know, any new information, and just don't pray, don't bother. You do your thing, and He'll do His thing. But He doesn't. Well, He says, because God's sovereign, you pray then like this. And because God knows what you need, pray. So Jesus teaches us to pray because God's sovereign. Let me show you this. Verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven. This is incredible. I mean, just first thing Jesus teaches us about prayer is that we're to pray to God as Father. I mean, just think about it. I mean, the big idea Jesus says about prayer is that you're going to Dad. When you pray, you're talking to Dad. Second, your Dad is in the heavens. All right, this means our Dad is ruling and reigning over everything, over all things, over everything, right? He's in the heavens. He does all He's pleased. This is sovereignty talking. And this is wonderful. This is wonderful. I mean, if our Dad's in charge of everything, He could actually help. Right? He could actually do something. If He's sovereign, Dad can actually help. And I appreciate Jesus so much here to say, when you pray, go to Dad. Say, Dad, I need your help. Dad, will you do this? And this is what God wants us to think when we pray. It's like going to Dad. Have you ever watched a good dad? Like, have you ever just maybe, see, here's a lot of the problem for us in here on this note. I mean, some of us have just had a great dad. We just had a good dad. I mean, he was always there and he took us out and he loved us. He always hugged us. Man, a lot of us didn't have a great dad. So this is like, oh, really? I mean, my dad, he used to hit me. And so you can't really connect. I mean, I don't know, but I know. And here's the greatest thing about God as Father. He's the great Father. He's the true and better Father. Now, there's a psalm that says, even though my father and mother leave me, God, you'll never leave me. And he loves me. I think all of us have seen a good dad at one point. All of us have gone, I love the way he just loves his kids. And that's what God wants us to think about when we pray. Right? If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, dad, can we go to the park? Dad, will you help me with this? Dad, can you get that for me? Right? My favorite, Nariah, when she's on the potty, she's like, all done, right? She yells it. It's like, that's my cue. It's like, I'm her dad. Right? She's just, and it's just awesome. You know, and Gideon is just eating. You want to eat? Yeah, he thinks I'm some, okay? Always just blueberries for him. He just doesn't know. I have to work for that. But God says, come to him as dad. So I'd encourage you to think about prayer like that. It's coming to dad, a dad who loves you and actually is in charge of things and will always work for your good. Romans 8, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And Westside, it was this, man, it was this that held Nikki and I together in that counseling room, that our God is a good sovereign dad, that he loves his children, that he loves me. He absolutely loves me there. He wasn't like, what did they find? He just knew. Right? I kept thinking, man, two things. When nothing comes to me apart from you knowing, and I just kept thinking, like I said, I know the only person, while she's telling me all these things, that can change any of this. And I just had that confidence. Why? Because he's in charge and he's a good dad. Next, Jesus says, hallowed be your name. So Jesus says, God's sovereign. He's a good dad in the heavens. And he's beginning to just realign our hearts up to why we pray. So you guys want to learn how to pray? Well, let's pray like this. This changes base level of the soul. He says, hallowed be your name. Jesus is teaching us here that in all our prayer, the end goal and the hope of what we want is worship to God. And we want God to display himself for who we just want to see the value and the worth of God. So in all of our requests, the ultimate cry of our heart is not for a certain thing, but that in that thing, God be magnified. And if you're a Christian here, just so you know, that's your deepest desire. It's your deepest desire, man. God, I just want you to display and shine here. And so for us this week, our deepest layer was, God, if you want us to have a baby who has Down syndrome and just open our lives to the beautiful world of those who have Down syndrome, then do it. And if he has heart issues and kidney problems, and we have to use a catheter to help him pee when he's months, and it's going to display the value and the worth of you for him and for us. And we're just going to just get more of you. And your glory is going to be made much. We're just going to meet people. It's going to be your glory. Then do it. Right? So that's there's layers here. And I think we need to learn. I mean, just one thing God taught me. Only there's just layers to our prayer, but this, Jesus says, is the bottom layer. So on another layer, man, I'm going, hey, God, but then I've seen you heal people. Like, you've healed people out of the womb. You can do it in the womb. So why don't, and even if it's just for me, like, even if it's just for us, man, just display, hallow your name in this. Man, you just hallow your name in this. Which leads Jesus to say the next big idea in his how do we pray. He says, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, so I mean, just think about the language. There's a kingdom in heaven, there's a will in heaven. And he's saying, pray that here. And your sovereign plan come. Like, we want what you want, God. We want you to come bring your kingdom here. Now, I don't have time to explain the kingdom of God. That's a book and a sermon of series. But the idea is Jesus is a king and he's got a kingdom. And we're his children. And ultimately, his kingdom is the way he's designed things to be in everything. And we're to bring that here. We're to show people. This is what God's like in every way. And seeing races come together and seeing the hungry fed, the sick healed, our idols worthless and all of that. And so we work and we pray for the kingdom. God, we want your kingdom here and your will to be done. So whatever you desire, I want. Man, I just remember one night just hating this idea. I was hating it. I just remember going, like, can I really not change your will? Like, there's got to be something I can do and change it. And then I just thought right in that moment, but what if God was perfect? Like, what if he was all wise? Like, what if he was good? What if he was a good dad? Like, I'm going to try to preach. What if he knows what's best? Then that's what I want. That's what I want, God. It doesn't stop me from praying. And Westside, here's the thing. God knows our thoughts. So he wants us to pray to him honestly, man. That's why you look in the Psalms and, you know, David looks schizophrenic. He's like, where are you? You're not here. And but I love your Psalm. I mean, just, you're like, what? He wants us to be honest. It's okay to say to God, I don't want this. Or I really want that job. Or please heal him. As long as the bottom layer is a deep-rooted love for dad and a trust in dad, dad knows best. I can't tell you, the greatest peace in the universe. And whatever comes your way, I mean, the rock, man. I mean, the Bible never says storms won't come. They just tell you how you're going to stand. It's going to be knowing that your dad is in control 100% and is completely good. And do you trust him? And let me say this again. Prayer is not about making God do something. Like prayer is about you and I aligning our will with God's, aligning our lives with God's, and being able to trust him enough to say, your will be done. Right? Had not Jesus prayed this in Gethsemane, he wouldn't have atoned for our sins. We wouldn't have died for us, and we'd all be going to hell. He didn't. He prayed it. It's a good thing to say, your will be done. Verse 11, it just gets really exciting here. Just think about it. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Just think about how cool this is. And because God knows everything, he knows what we need. He knows the best way to provide. Which means we can come to dad with great confidence and assurance, like Gideon comes to me, that he will. So your prayers, like, because you're sovereign. I mean, think about this. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, we know that dad already knows the temptations we're going to face and his plan to assist us in facing them. So we can be absolutely sure of his divine help. But we need to ask. We need to go to dad for help, for guidance, for wisdom. All right, so you asked, why pray if God's sovereign? Jesus answers, pray because God is sovereign. All right, so let me close by summarizing the two answers to our question. Number one, prayer, man, is ultimately about drawing us into a dynamic, intimate relationship with the all-sufficient God. I mean, that's why we pray. That's why we pray. I mean, just think about it from God's vantage point. Like, I mean, why command us to pray? Why ask us to pray? Why put prayer in the universe? Well, maybe because, like a dad, he loves his children. He wants to serve. He wants to provide. He wants to care, to love his children, and do everything that would awaken their souls to his glory. I mean, maybe he's passionate about relationship with you. Like, maybe he wants to just have that. And I love the way one pastor said, he says, if you get that God is dad, you will pray. Prayer is not just what happens for those people who know God. Prayer is just what happens for those people who know God. You won't say, well, how do I need to pray? And what words do I need to say? And what if I do it wrong? What if I don't do it? Man, all that goes away if God is dad. Go talk to dad. Anytime, anywhere, about anything, anyone, and dad loves you, and dad will listen, and dad cares, and dad is there. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him, right? Because he cares for you. And like, he cares. It's crazy. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious. I mean, don't even be anxious. Why are you stressing out about anything? But in everything, go to dad, talk to your dad with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Go to your dad respectfully. Let your requests be made known to God. I mean, Jesus prays, "Men, come to me all who are weary and I will give you rest." Or just think about why Jesus prayed. I mean, did Jesus pray, okay, like I want to do your will, I'm just going to do this. I mean, yeah, he was in constant communication with his Father, but he prayed because he loved him. One thing you should do just to be helpful is read John 17. It's not this kind of materialist, it's this beautiful relationship, like, God, like, I know you love them, so I just pray that the love that you have for me would just be in them, and man, I just want to miss you. Like, I remember the glory we had before the world was created, and it's just this beautiful, like, God, like, I can't wait, and I just love you, and thank you that I'm just doing everything that you've led me to do, and it's just this relationship. It's talking to dad, and here's the truth, Westside. God's given us prayer so that we can love him like Jesus did, calling him dad, and he hears us. I mean, like, he actually hears you. I mean, just think about that. He hears you. And here's the truth. We need him. We are created for him and are happiest in him, right? Just, you know, we're weak. He is strong. We're foolish. He is wise. We're flaky. He's faithful. We are ignorant. He knows everything. We're dependent on him for everything. Let me just explain this. True Christian maturity is not you coming to a point in your Christian life where you just don't need God anymore. It's like, I got this, man. I've read it. I don't need that. That's not it. If you just read anything about these men of God, it was a deeper understanding of how much they needed God. I mean, how much true Christian maturity is just this ever-longing, always conversation with God. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. Right? Keep a continual communication with God. Why? Because our need for him, our design for him, our joy in him never ceases. It's worship. That's why we pray. And his love for us, his desire to display his glory, never grows cold. Westside, just think about it. So much of what God wants in our prayers for is for us to see him for who he is. You can't just, you know, this is the great quote. I hope it stirs your affections. When God hungers for some special satisfaction, he seeks out a prayer to answer. Our prayer is the sweet aroma from the kitchen ascending into the king's chambers, making him hungry for the meal. But the actual enjoyment of the meal is his own glorious work in answering our prayer. The food of God is to answer our prayers. The most wonderful thing about the Bible is that it reveals a God who satisfies his appetite for joy by answering prayers. He has no deficiency in himself that he needs to fill up, so he gets satisfaction by magnifying the glory of his riches by filling up the deficiencies of people who pray. Like, we lose out when we don't pray. I just pray about everything. Second, God has devised prayer as a means of enlisting us as participants in the work he's ordained. Which means we get to pray into the sovereignty of God. And that's, we get to pray, and just think, we get to pray into the sovereignty of God. Like, that's almost like Matrix. I mean, that's just crazy. Or to say it another way, every prayer we pray was sovereignly prayed. All right, so we pray in the present, believing the truth that every prayer matters, is heard, and has purpose, which is true. And at the same time, knowing God answers in the eternal. Willing that those prayers be how he works out his perfect will. So So all week, man, I'm praying to my all-powerful dad, trusting that he can do this in his power, knowing I have to pray. Because only he can do this, and that's true. But deeper than that, I'm hoping in God's sovereignty that it was through our prayers and the hundreds of others that God's will was to, through prayer, heal this baby. And so the fuel of my prayers are in the truth that my dad's in charge. All right, let me give you a really cool practical example that God did this week for me. Okay, so last Saturday, we always have stuff we have to bring from the office to the campus on the North Shore. And so I don't work Fridays, but it can't be done till Friday. And so someone has to go get it. And so usually I go on the weekend or we figure out who's going to bring it to the North Shore. So it was my turn and Nikki and I and the family, we just go to the States, pick up a package, and on our way home, I'm like, let me just swing by the office. I'll get the stuff so I don't have to come back from the North Shore. And so we swing by the office. I don't have my keys. I'm like, but I just get out of the van. I'm like, let me just go see if someone's there. And Nikki's like, oh, no. Okay, so I get out of the van, and I just pray one thing. I was like, Jesus, I pray that someone would be there. And so I walk up to ring up to the office, and I'm not even looking on the street. And all of a sudden, I hear, James Bond, he's the best preacher. And I turn around. I'm like, and it's Chad. Chad's just right there in his van. Chad and Lynn, I'm like, I don't have my keys. I'm like, he's like, okay, I would turn around. He tells me later he never carries his office keys. And so he even said with Linda, man, they were like, should we take 4th or Broadway? And so he's right there. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, just think about this. So God, before the day began, knows I'm going to pray here, man. I don't have my keys. And so he plans out in his sovereignty, Chad and Linda's day. And just so you know, we all have free choices throughout the whole day. And so God's going, man, you're going to pray this here. They're going to come down Broadway, and I'm just going to blow your mind. Right? And so I turn, how cool is that? I mean, just that you would grab your office keys. And so here's my point. God is amazing. Right? So I can pray in that moment that God would have someone there, and God works in the eternal, knowing that I would pray that and sovereignly moving Chad and Linda to go their day, all while we're being free. All right. So here's where most of us struggle. We struggle with a philosophical assumption that we think it's either or. Okay. So we believe that either we're free, we have free will, and the future is open to pray, or everything's determined. All right, so we believe either we're free and we're responsible for our choices, and our choices and prayers matter, and that means the future is open and undetermined, or something is set and fixed the future and our prayers and choices don't matter. So we think it's either or, but in the Bible, it's never either or. Never. All right, from beginning to end, in principle and practice, it's always this. You are free and responsible for your choices to pray, to share your faith, to make the right decisions. And yet every single thing as a result of those prayers and choices are working out exactly according to the plan of God. On one side, we pray because prayer makes a difference. Knowing that much of what God does, he does through prayer. Prayer changes things. God hears our prayers. He loves when we come to Dad, and he answers our prayer, and he's 100% sovereign over them. I mean, this is even true, like, the objection can go, man, what about in the Old Testament when God changes his mind because people prayed? Does that work? Yeah, of course it works. So in one sense, did God change his mind? Yes, because they prayed. But was it from eternity past his will that they would pray, press into God, and so move him to act in a different way? Absolutely. There's no contradiction there. I mean, God works with us in the now, but he's sovereign in the eternal. And it's so exciting to pray. I mean, think about it. You're praying into something that's already planned. That's crazy. Westside, the Christian life is a life of participation. I mean, it really is. I mean, just think about how salvation works. Those of you who are Christians, you became a Christian because Jesus did something here. He opened your heart. It wasn't like you were smart enough. You just sat there and like, yeah, that makes sense now. Where did that come from? And the Holy Spirit changed you. But who did God use? What vehicle did he use? more than likely, unless it was a dream, it was someone telling you the gospel. Right? Romans 10 says that. We participate with God. So Westside, let me say this. Every prayer you pray is a part of God's plan. That's crazy. Just keep praying. Go to Dad in prayer. Go to Dad in prayer and he'll listen. All right. So this last Tuesday, we go in for, we went back to Women's Hospital for the heart ultrasound. And just after a week of praying to God for a miracle, I mean, getting others to pray, our community to pray, it was on the prayer sheet. So if you prayed, thank you. And just, man, just pleading with God, like, you can do this. You're God. Like, let me get up here and preach a sermon that's got a miracle in it. Like, just plead and just show your people that when we pray, you hear. And these prayers were your sovereign working to heal this baby. I mean, that we walk into the room and we just heard me do it, God. And I just want to tell you the coolest thing happened to me in the morning of, like, so Tuesday, I wake up early, I'm in the Word. And I came to a point, I was like, God, like, if you want to say no, and that's okay, because you want to show Westside, like the many other parents who've heard no, and that God doesn't always answer this way, but you're enough. You just want to do that. Like, I'm okay with it. I mean, if you want to give us a baby with Down syndrome, I love him. Let's love him, God. If you just want to do that, do it. But I'm just going to keep believing that you do a miracle, but I'm okay. It was just so cool to be there, right? You can't force an experience like this. And people ask me, like, what do you, you know, that's been the coolest thing. And so that morning, I just asked the elders to come together, pray over the baby, right? Because that's what the Bible says. If anyone's sick, call on the elders and pray healing. And God will heal. And so I'm like, I don't believe the Bible. So we asked the elders and we did that. And the coolest thing, like, he's like, oh, I felt him kick. And so we go into women's and it was just so you get in there and your heart's just pounding. No one's talking. And so the first tech goes in and you're just kind of watching the TV screen. Like, everything looks like a hole. And it's like, oh, there it is. And you're just probably literally, I don't think I had a minute past. I was just praying. I probably looked like I had like schizo and I was in and out. Just praying. Like, man, do this. And if it's not, it's a fine. There was one part I was like, there it is. Fine, Lord. Thank you. I was super disappointed. Oh, okay. And so they bring in one tech, they bring in another one, they don't tell us really much, and then they bring in like two other people, specialists, and everyone's looking, it's like an hour, and it's the same shot over and over. And so then finally the last guy, the big heart specialist, comes in, he's looking, and he's like, man, just so you know, we don't, like, it was a lot more convincing last week, we can't find any hole. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, you have nothing to be concerned about. The hole's not there. And I was like, that's because Jesus answered my prayer. Woo! It was just crazy to like be there and just all that happened. And oh, it was just amazing. So that was a miracle. And God is going to hear our prayers. And I was just in the first gathering and there was a couple who lost their baby and just, man, like just watch them suffer. And even we have a kidney and bladder ultrasound this Tuesday, and so you can pray for that, and we don't know. I mean, God still might give us, like, we just okay with him. That's just the coolest thing for me. I mean, even if, and we were talking last night, even if there's something that goes wrong, I mean, you don't know, man. Like, what if he's two and he gets dropped? I mean, you just don't know. But are you gonna be okay? I mean, is he sovereign? Is he a good dad? And that was the coolest thing for us, and I want that for us as a country. We believe God does miracles, yes, but we believe bigger than that. Our good dad is in control. And so I just want to encourage you to start thinking of God much bigger than you do. I mean, just come to him like a dad and pray and know that he hears you. Like, he hears you and he loves you. Like, he loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his life for you. And that he went to a cross. Like, he went to a cross and he was whipped, beaten, bruised, died in your place, the penalty you deserved. And God's wrath was poured out on his son. That's why we call the second person of the Trinity son. It just gives us a picture of the relationship of God. And he loved us. I mean, just displayed his glory so huge in that moment. And I love there's one scripture in Romans 8 that says, he did not spare his own son for us. How would he not in Christ give us all things? So I just want to leave you with this scripture and then we'll pray. Matthew 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. This is Jesus. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Of which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And there's going to be times in your life where it feels like he gave you a serpent, but he didn't. Because he knows, man. I just had Karen come up here, who's in the wheelchair. She's been here for many years. She just said, man, like, I see God so much in this wheelchair. She's like, oh, yeah, of course. She's like, I can't wait to see him. It's good. We get to pray. We get to talk to God. How crazy is that? It's just crazy. And he hears me. Let's pray. I just want to encourage you to respond. Like, we'll have a prayer couple and just come and respond and pray. If you need prayer, ask someone next. Can we just pray for me while we're singing? I just need prayer. Pray. Go to Dad. Let's just celebrate Jesus. We're going to sing, man. This next song, Only God Always Does What's Good, Right? Prayer. Just sing that and believe it. Your will be done. And then we're going to respond in communion. And so when you're ready, come take the bread, dip it in the wine or the juice, and just celebrate Jesus' finished work for you. It's finished. Give. And just give. Give to the Lord. Chad will give you more direction on the end. But let me pray. And we'll close. And we'll worship. Jesus, thank you that you hear us. Like, you're here and you're communicating. And that you're God who listens. And that you're sovereign. I'm just so thankful that you are in control and that you're a good dad. And I thank you that you taught us how to pray to a good dad who's sovereign. I'm just so thankful. And I thank you that your will is better than mine. And we want more. I just pray that this would be a church. It's just rock solid. Storms hit. That'll magnify you, God. I just pray you would do that in us. And just thank you. I just am so thankful that you took me through this. Like, I really am. I just get to preach this. It's so cool. So I pray you'd stir us in Jesus' name. Amen.